Good morning again, everyone. Thank you for being with us here. You know, one of the strange things about the COVID year that we've had, and it's been almost exactly a year this Sunday. In fact, it was exactly a year this week that basically everything shut down, is just the way that normal things that we interact with became very abnormal. And I think one of the interesting things for me was watching professional sports. In particular, watching the NFL. And what made it so strange was how far out of their way the directors and producers of the NFL actual TV shows went to make it appear as though it were normal. The cameras always stayed right down on the field, so you saw the players, but not the empty stands. They went out of their way to keep the camera shots low or very high and looking down on the field. But most interesting was the fact that you could always hear the crowd noise just like you normally would during the NFL season. And so this means that somewhere in the production of a live NFL telecast, there is some sound producer sitting there with a board of buttons in front of him, and they're probably labeled things like cheers for big play, moans for fumbled ball, excited chattering. And, you know, he has to be on that board pushing those buttons at just the right moment so that when the touchdown catch is caught, he pushes that button for big cheer, touchdown, everybody goes, yay! And so watching it on TV, you get the illusion that it's a normal NFL game. Part of what I found the most hilarious was there was clearly somewhere on his little board a button marked bad call, because I noticed in watching one of the football games that when one of the officials made a call that I thought to myself, well, that's kind of questionable, there was from the crowd a general that says to me that somewhere sitting in some office, some producer who's watching a live feed said to himself, ooh, people wouldn't have liked that, they'd boo, and he hit the button. Now, watching it on television, it gave a sense that it was still normal, even though it was very abnormal. But it wasn't normal, was it? It was a very strange season. It was a very strange year. Everything was affected. All the things we normally enjoy was affected. And I will say, I, for one, and I think you all know this, I genuinely enjoy the NFL season. And, of course, you all know I'm a Steelers fan, and that's okay. I think the Browns are awesome, too. Not a huge fan of the Ravens, but we'll just leave that go. But this year was still very strange. Even with all of the crowd sounds, even with all of the hard work that they put into making it feel and look and sound normal, you knew in the back of your mind it wasn't normal. And, you know, the ratings tell us that people responded to the fact that it was not normal. Viewership of every single professional sport is way down. Frankly, it's making them a little nervous in the various different professional sporting franchises. Because we as a nation, we support one of the most enormous and highly profitable professional sports environments on the planet. And every last one of us does have the team that we cheer for, right? Just like I said, I'm a Pittsburgh Steelers fan. You may be the fan of any other particular team from anywhere else in the country. I have a brother-in-law who inexplicably is a Michigan fan. I say inexplicably because he grew up in West Virginia. I don't know. He's a Michigan fan. We all have our team. We cheer for our team. And when our team succeeds, we feel great. And when our team fails, we feel awful. Even though we didn't put in any practice, we didn't throw any balls, we didn't make any blocks, and we sure did not wear helmets, pads, and stand on the field. Yet we still feel like we're a part of it, right? Our team matters to us, and we want our team to beat everybody else's team. So when Jesus is speaking late at night in sort of a secluded location with Nicodemus, one of the teachers of the law and a member of the Sanhedrin, he's talking about what it is that he's here to do. As the Savior, what has he come to do for the world? And he says something to Nicodemus that is very strange. He says that he has not come into this world to condemn it, but to save the world. Now, Nicodemus expected him to say that the Messiah has come into this world to save Israel and to condemn the rest of the world. Because, of course, Israel was Nicodemus's team. It was his people. And it was them against, well, the world. As far as Israel was concerned, God loved Israel. And the rest of the world, well, honestly, the rest of the world probably annoyed God. And it would be better if the Messiah could find a way to spread Israel's boundaries to all the world or just get rid of the rest of the world. So when Jesus says to Nicodemus, I have not come into this world to condemn it, but to save this world. This is a significant change. This is not the sport that Nicodemus thought he was watching. He figured his team would win, everybody else's team would lose, and he was noticeably confused in having this conversation with Jesus Christ. But Christ makes it clear that his mission is not to bring about a new Israel that is a powerful political entity. His mission is not to cast out the Romans and condemn the Roman Empire and bring the wrath of God down on the bad guys. God has now put into place a far larger, far greater mission. That mission is to save the world through Jesus Christ, who is to be lifted up on the cross for the sins of all of humanity. Now, as humans, sometimes we begin to think that we are very much an us against them sort of situation. We are the people of God, the them, well, they're not the people of God. They're the people outside of God, those who are condemned. But of course, Jesus says, well, it's not my focus in my ministry to offer condemnation on the people who are outside of the kingdom of God, but to welcome them and bring them in. Sometimes we want to get focused on our differences with those that we disagree with, even with those who are morally objectionable, those who are wrong. And we might think it is our job to oppose them, even our job to compete with them, maybe even our job to condemn them. And Jesus says, that's not what I want my church to do. I want my church to know the difference between right and wrong. I want you to live lives that are right. And I want you to reach out to the people in this world who are wrong for the sole and singular purpose of offering them my forgiveness, my renewal of life, my call to live a sanctified way of living where the Holy Spirit will guide them into the holiness they can't find on their own. What is it that we are called to do? Who is it that we are called to be? Well, we're not called to be cheerleaders for our side in and against the other side. In fact, we're not called to be fans at all. We're called to be players. See, part of being in the kingdom of God is there is no fan base. There's just a very large team. We're all on the field. We all suit up every Sunday. We all play the game, and the game is simply this. Bring the gospel of Jesus Christ to those who have not heard it. Tell them about his grace, mercy, love, and forgiveness, and invite them to come and be a part of the kingdom of God. Yeah, there's no cheering for the church. We are the church. There's no cheering for the people who do the work. We all do the work. And while there is a very definitive us defined by our inclusion into the kingdom of God, the them out there in the world, they're not our enemies. They're our mission field. So I say to you all this Sunday, listen to the words of Jesus Christ. As he tells Nicodemus, I'm not here for your team. I'm here for my team, and I want my team to be everyone. I have not come into this world to condemn it. I've come into this world to save it. Amen.